All right. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for being here. And I'm so excited to share with you all what the Lord was doing in the country of Peru. So we're going to start watching a video I have on YouTube. You guys can even check it out anytime you on YouTube. You can just, you know, if you have YouTube on at home and stuff, you can just watch this video. I think like you can just start playing, and as it's going, I can just start by, you know, sharing some things. So let's start watching this video that I was able to make.
Can everybody see
it? Everybody see it? Welcome, guys. Welcome.
Okay, I'll get it going here.
All right, so this is Tarapoto as soon as I arrived. So you fly from Lima. Yeah. So that's our way to Tarapoto. It's kind of our crazy. That was a youth night we had. Kind of like the same format that we have here at the chapel. We have actually two getting going at night. So that's kind of also the group that we're in the stream. Texas, Germany, Mexico, three areas that are part of the youth program. MICA title.
El Señor, clama a mí, dice el Señor.
It's been 1 month there. That's Mike Cachado, who was leading the group. Right now he's got Yajan Yahapa.
Clama a mí, dice el Señor.
Okay, we are heading down to a village called Kayanayaku. And that's the first village. That's the first stop on our voyage. We'll be preaching there tonight, trying to encourage the brothers and sisters. I'm so excited to be at that village. There are a bunch of great brothers and sisters, but at the same time, there's so much need in that village, so many lost people. And so we really hope to be an encouragement and a challenge as we go in preaching open air, having children's meetings, having meetings with the believers also going just hut to hut, sharing the gospel. So anyway, gonna be an epic trip. This is the first trip or the first stop. First day of an 8-day journey.
That was the first village called Kayanayaku. So we visited 6 different villages along the river. That was Ochicha, one of the rivers they have. It's kind of how worship looks like. That's the instruments they have. We had open air preaching, sharing the gospel all night. I was able to share a couple of times there. So you would invite like people to come over and be part of that. This is how early in the morning we would start with
our second day and
starting the Bible and then
our work of the kids
club.
I don't like
how the villages look like in the jungle. It's the hot cell, so that's how they have fun.
So
I was translating also because they were like everyone would speak English. So this is kind of like that one of the churches. So like in each village, you would find believers there. This is one of the guys from Germany. His name is Jan. So he's just talking like how he brought some medicine and helping some people also with some medicine. That's kind of the group, the team, and we would keep going, like every, probably like, we spend 1 or 2 days in the village, we would do the same thing over and over again, like the kids, open air preaching at night, and the gospel to people, and on to the next, over and over again. That's how like, it's very free, you wake up and
dice el Señor, yo te responderé. Si no tienes dinero y no tienes quien te dé.
Really weird.
A mí dice el Señor, yo te
respondo. This is a little bit like Contagious. Some onions. That's another church.
Clama a mí, dice el Señor, yo te responderé.
Play some music. And now we're going to have an open preaching. That's how they can do it.
All right, that was a chinamisa. What's next?
We're gonna go on a probably all day hike, sun up to sundown, hike all the way to Vista Alegre. So yeah, it's gonna be a long hike. It's gonna be awesome.
Bye.
Gonna be awesome, man. It was so hard. It's the hardest hike I've ever seen. And that's one of the Peruvian guys that came with us from the church in Tarapoto. He was one of my disciples, and I got the one that we were able to preach.
There, Elliot, our brother Elliot.
Elliot is from Mexico. Halfway through the jungle, it was, oh man, really hard. And it was raining all the time, so you would have to wear, you know, those boots, because how muddy it was. That's the shushupe that I mentioned on Sunday.
It's a hunter, so if you see it on the trail, it might go off into the forest and it might come back around and get you. So you gotta be really careful. Very, very big snake, very dangerous, one of the most venomous. Bites you, a couple hours, you can be gone.
All right.
So you have to cross, you know, different rivers. We were not able to make it all the way, so they decided to pick us up at some point. Like we were like 3 hours away from the place where we were going, but they picked us up on the boats. They called them Peke Peke.
And so guy.
We finally arrived. We were all super tired.
Yeah, happy after
that hike. Oh,
yeah, here we are. This is it. This is Vista Alegre.
Some medicine for some kids, different. That's calling, cheering, open air. Baptisms, we had to say the next day during that. That was one of our last villages called Vista Alegre. We had 3 baptisms there. And again, there are already churches in these places, but you know, not really strong churches.
Town, village that we are visiting, we have the help.
So that was on our way to the last one. It was just like an hour hike, so it wasn't that bad as the one before that.
We'll see. Last village in this mission trip. Praise the Lord.
I was like the road. Like get there.
All right, we have arrived to the last village.
So the last one, Elliot? Our 6th village, San Angel. I was really already tired back then after, like, you know, sleeping 8 days and on the floor. I was one of the really nice places to go to. So there were like some boas there, that's what they said. So
here we are, just finished the last pueblo. We were just in San Angel. It was a really awesome river trip. We're on our way back to Tarapoto, so this is our last little leg of the trip at Peke Peke. So we'll be there for about an hour and a half. Super awesome. Super been great. It's been a great week serving the Lord. So yeah, let's go. It's gonna be super awesome.
That was like finally some civilization after a week. Yeah, Barranquita. And then from there we took a car just to the next. That's pretty much the video that I made, kind of like as a recap. Just kind of have some more ideas that you can have some visuals of what it was like. Basically we arrived to Tarapoto. Like if you kind of picturing yourself like a kind of an Ephesus, a place, a strong place where, you know, everyone from the jungle will come to, like, you know, get food and stuff. So it was like very well located. That's the main city, Tarapoto. So you fly to Lima, and from Lima, you take another flight to Tarapoto. So that's kind of like the biggest city in the jungle. So once we were there, we spent like three days, you know, just hanging out with the youth group there at that church, being part of the assembly there. Here I have some pictures too. So if you could next, just some pictures that you already, okay. So yeah, we arrived on Saturday. That was the whole group. You see the title family there, and there were like 90 ITPers. The ITP is a discipleship program down in Texas. So again, we had people from Mexico, Germany, and people from the States. So that was kind of the team. That was in front of the title's house. It's a big house. They used to have a Bible Institute there, but since they moved back to the States, that Bible Institute is no longer like going on. But yeah, so the next one, that was the youth night. We had like a very strong youth group. People like, you know, Micah and Jordan, all these guys' ages, was they meet up also every weekend. And so we were able to, Peruvians are a little shy though. Like more Colombians, we are probably too open to everyone. But yeah, we had a good time. This is the assembly there. It's called Iglesia Maús y Meas Church. It's an assembly. So we same format, breaking of bread, and then the family Bible hour. Very nice assembly, super strong believers. I'll share more with you guys. So that was it. And this was on Monday. You know, Monday we got ready, you know, buy the stuff that we needed, the tents and stuff before hitting the road to the jungle. So that was the group receiving instructions from Micah. That was the first village, Kayanayaku. Spend there like two nights, and then half of us spend there like two nights, and then the other part of the group, they went on to the next one, which was Ricardo Palma. So the next one, that was Ricardo Palma with some believers over and over again, as I told you. So we would get there, and as soon as we get there, we would set our camp, and they had like a, you know, like a small building where they would meet up for church and stuff. So we would get our tents ready. I the first 5 days I had like not mattress really, just like a very something that, you know, for your back. But the first day I was like, whoa, this is gonna be like for a week. So I was, you know, just like, oh man, the huddle's bad. Like I was like, oh, everything. But I learned, you know, just like, even if you're sleeping on the floor, but the Lord was teaching me, even if, you know, serving him, it gives more peace, and it gives more rest to just, you know, being in peace with the Lord. There is nothing like being in peace with him, even if you have a comfortable bed, but if you're not in peace before God. So, yeah, so that was another village. So we had Kayanayaku, the first one, Ricardo Palma, Pongo Isla. The fourth one was Achinamisa. This is Achinamisa. So you see all the women on this side, and they were like, serving food all the time. So the weekend, the church from Tarapoto, they came to help us out in Achinamisa. So we had like around 50 people like in this small village. And so all these women were cooking, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner for like 50, 60 people. So it was, you know, the work behind the scenes, you know, of the church at the end. It was the church doing these things. Just like you, like I know our chapel is very good at that too. So that was neat to see, you know, believers serving the Lord, and that was part of their ministry. This was one of the villages just giving some encouragement to the believers. So again, we would set our camp, we would go hut to hut, invite kids for the Horita Feliz, that's how we called it, the happy hour. And so they would come, activities, a Bible story. And then at night we would have like an opera preaching, worship, and invite everyone. And so at the end, you know, we would close up our trip, just encouraging the believers that they were already there. So that was, this is Vista Alegre. This was after the, you know, the place after the hike of like 12 hours. Oh no, actually this is Anango. That was the last village. Yeah. The next one, that's how things would look like there in the villages, but it was very pretty. You know, I miss the mountains and this different landscape to where I'm from, but anyways, it was super neat to see the Lord working. Now, I would like to share, you know, that was how basically the whole trip looked like, you know, same thing, just kids, open air preaching, sharing the gospel, encouraging the believers, and they move into the next one. So it was basically living out the book of Acts kind of like, yeah, firsthand. You know, you could picture Paul and the apostles back then, and John and Peter setting, you know, their voyage to the next village and different places. And so as we were, you know, going to these places, we were also studying the book of Acts. Micah would wake us up in the morning just reading Acts. He would wake up at, you know, 6 in the morning and start reading Acts. Sometimes he was like, oh, yes, Lord. But sometimes I was like, come on, bro. Can you wait a little bit more just so we can sleep a little bit more? But there were some verses that not too many that I would like to share with you guys tonight. Acts 4:18-20, if you have your Bibles there, these were some verses. And I wrote down on my journal things that I, you know, kind of outcomes from the trip. And I would just like to share with you guys tonight and encourage you guys all. We have visitors tonight too, so welcome. Yeah, and yes, I think it's a good opportunity. It was a great opportunity for you to think of life. Like, what is, you know, when I was just sleeping there again, that very first night, I was like, what am I doing in my life? You know, how did I end up being here in the jungle? So like, it was good to think about life. And I think it's a good opportunity for us also to think about where are we going in our lives? Like, why, what am I doing? What am I investing my time in, my money, my resources? So Acts 4:18-20, we see Peter and John before the council. And you see that it says in Acts 4:18-20, so they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And I it was super encouraging before going to the jungle to read that verse 20, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. You know, before going out to share the gospel to anybody, like, what are you going to share? It was super challenging. Like, it all comes from our own relationship with God. Like, what I've seen and experienced with God, what I've heard, what I've been learning with him, that's what I'm going to go share with these people. How am I going to share with people something or about someone that I don't really know? So that was so key for me, encouraging, just to remember that they were preaching what they had seen and heard. So what they were sharing was not a joke, was real stuff. And so that was really, really encouraging for me, that verse. And at the same time for us, if we want to share about Jesus, well, what are you going to share? What's, do you know who Christ is? Have you seen, have you heard, have you been witnessing his power in your life before going to share to somebody else? And then Acts chapter 5, verses 20 and then verses 40 to 42, they were super encouraging for us too before we hit the road. Acts 5:20, it says, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. It was so clear, but it was like just a great verse. Like, go Juanes, go Colin, go you guys, and stand there in these places that you guys are going to visit and speak to the people all the words of this life, meaning, you know, Jesus. And then verse 40 to 42, it says, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. So we didn't have like persecution necessarily, but definitely it was hard to get to these places. Again, not this last Monday when we were there, we had the long hike, you know, with snakes and different things around. And it was really hard. And it's like after 4 or 5 hours, you're like, come on, how? I just want to get there, you know? And so it's just like praying and don't give up, like asking the Lord to help you. But at the end, you know, those sufferings and those hardships, at the end, these guys were like, literally, they were beating them up. They say they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And they kept going and going. So that was super encouraging to see. Now, you know, I think like at the end, all this mission trip and all the different activities that we can do is not just, you know, I mean, yeah, it's we have missionaries that go to their place, but I couldn't help but think of, you know, our church here, or like in the States, that the church in general, like what are we doing, you know, as the church of Christ. And there are some things that I wrote in my journal that I would like to share with you guys. First of all, I was thinking of a call to live a simple gospel. These guys are not deep theologians, you know, like all these people in these villages that are believers. They know very little about theology, and they want to learn more, but yet they are loving their neighborhood. They are showing Christ's love in their own community. And that was very impactful for me. You know, it's not a matter of, they didn't go to Emmaus Bible College, or, you know, it's all about having the spirit of God and being willing to witness in their own place. That was super neat to see. Second, I learned about how hypocrisy affects the church. So you had like those good examples, but also in these, like, you know, these are villages with 200, 150 people. Some of them were bigger than that. But then you have like small churches, you know, 20, 30 people, but, you know, everyone knows what is going on in this village. Everyone knows everything. And so there were like some people that we were sharing the gospel, and they were like, yeah, but, you know, I know those Christians that, you know, go to church, but they come to I remember sharing the gospel to one of the guys they call the bodegas, the stores where they go to, you know, buy beer and stuff. And he was like, yeah, but I have all those Christians going to the church and coming here and buying beer and stuff and getting drunk. So that was something that said, like, you know, their testimony is huge. Same way for us, you know, we are not that far from us. Like, we can come here to church every Sunday and worship the Lord and do, but, you know, what are we doing out there where we are, in our city, in our job, in where the place where we are? We should live out the gospel. So that was something that I learned also. Third, the importance of kids ministry is huge. I was not aware of that as much, but, you know, just Micah has been visiting all these villages for 20 years. And you see, oh yeah, like people, you know, my age, and oh yeah, I remember Micaiah's coming here and sharing. So like they were affected by this. And you know, that's key for us also in our kids. We have a bunch of kids in our chapel. So yeah, don't underestimate the kids. That was something I learned a lot too. Many of the believers that were believers but were not really walking with the Lord, they had like a time of reconciliation with God. So we went to this one of the last villages, the one that we got after the long hike. And that night we were all so tired. Like, oh man, we were tired, but we still had the open air preaching and things. I was translating to one of my friends, and literally I was falling asleep while I was translating. I was like, yeah. But then, and you didn't know, at the end is like the work of the Spirit, because we all were tired and we were not like, you know, you wouldn't think like, oh, nothing's gonna happen, we're just doing this. But no, the Spirit was really actually working, because that night, you know, we went to bed, and then there was one of the guys that went to the elder's house at 3 a.m. And he woke him up. He was like, I need to reconcile with God now. Please, I need to reconcile with God now. And so when we woke up, the elder shared with us what had happened that night. And it was so encouraging. So we had a breakfast, invited that guy. And there were some more people that wanted to, you know, obey the Lord in baptism and really following him. So that was super encouraging. Even when we were tired, the Spirit was doing the work. And that's at the end, you know, God was on the move. That was so cool. Like there was another village where there was somebody that, you know, they're believers. Yeah, we had heard the gospel. They were walking and, you know, and going to church and stuff, but somehow they just walked away. So there were like some cases of people wanting to come back to the Lord as well. And so I was able to visit one of a family and encourage this guy. He was like, yeah, I kind of want to come back, but I'm not sure quite. And then the night after that visit, he came and he came up to us and asked us to pray for him. And so that kind of commitment again to follow the Lord, that was really neat. So I wonder if, you know, many of us need to reconcile with the Lord tonight. I feel like we sin every day, and we need to come before the throne of grace and ask him to forgive us and really to keep walking. Don't give up. We don't have anywhere to go but him. So that was another lesson. Then there was a clear message for sin. Somehow, I don't know, I'm not that bold to talk about sin here, really. But there it was somehow easy. Micah was straightforward. He was like coming up with this these sermons about, you know, like these people have like pigs and they go to grow their stuff and stuff. So he had a sermon called "Don't Eat Pigs Food." No comas comida de chancho. No comas comida de chancho. He would say over and over again, "Don't eat pigs food." And it was kind of nasty, a little bit the example, but it was shocking for everyone. So he said, so let's imagine that you guys are the villagers. So the first time I came with you guys, I came with a missionary, and that missionary needed to go to the bathroom. Number two, but there was no bathroom. Then all the villagers were like, "You have to go to the trees." And so he was like, "Okay." And so he started going, and all the pigs were behind him, you know, following him and chasing him. And he was like trying to find a place where he was able to do number two. And then like he was like, "Shh, shh, shh," and the pigs wouldn't go. He was able to do number two at the end, and he walked away. And then all the pigs came and started eating what he had done. It was like, what? And then he said, "But you know what? That's what you guys are doing. You guys are getting stuck in your sin. And I know many of you guys are just going, getting drunk, going crazy in this world and are eating pig's food. Don't eat pig's food. Don't eat pig's food," over and over again. And it was like super shocking for everyone. At first, when they were like laughing, and then was like, what? And you know, even us, many of us, we're like confronted with our sin. So like that, you know, we need a clear message about against sin. Something that I was able to share also, like I learned a lot about snakes as I shared in the breaking of bread. But there was another example that I heard from Nate Bramson once, and I was able to use too. And I think it's for us, for myself first. So imagine I share with them. Imagine you guys have there was a kid that had a boa, you know, a snake as a pet. And the guy was, you know, feeding it, and it was growing. The boa was growing and growing, and he would feed it, and it was growing and growing. And it got to a point where it stopped eating. And so the kid was like, "Oh, what's happening to my boa?" And so he took it to the veterinary, you said? And so and he took it, and he was like, "You know what? It stopped. She stopped eating. The boa stopped eating because she's measuring you, because she wants to eat you." And so that's a good example too. Are we feeding the boa that is going to kill us? Are we, you know, just like eating, feeding the sin that is going to destroy us? We have to kill it, just like a shushupe, like go cut the head. Just as Paul did actually in Acts 28, he had this experience with this viper, this snake, and he, you know, just throw it away. And that was super cool to see, you know, a clear message against sin. And we need that. We all need that to fight against sin. So that was something that I was able to experience too in these villages. Something else that I learned was a missions-minded church, this church in Tarapoto, although, you know, not many years in the gospel, but they were like, okay, we want to go as church with the youth group, the families going to support this work in Achinamisa, one of the villagers. They you know, they saved up for these missions, and basically the whole church, like 30, no, probably like 40 people from the church ended up coming with us. That was a really good example, a missions-minded church. Lord, may the Lord help us to, you know, also have a missions mind as church. The young people, I was amazed. The young people there were like reading theology and reading the scriptures, and they were like thirsty. Like they wanted us to, and you know, they were like probably 15, 16 years old. But these guys were like, you know, coming up with questions, reading big theologians and stuff. So that was super encouraging and, you know, just shocking for me too. What are our young people spending their time in? What are they reading? What are they, you know, looking at their phones and stuff? I don't know. It was super shocking as well for me. There is no comfort at all in these places. And at the end, you know, comfort is something that I feel the enemy is using, at least in our context here, to keep us asleep. Comfort is something nice, you know, like anything you want, you're going to get it. And Valentine's Day and everything, you know. But, you know, there's people in the world that they don't even have a nice bathroom. I had a video of like the the bathroom, but I wouldn't like to share that. But I just like to think of, you know, all the things that we take for granted. We are so blessed, but I just, you know, it's a call not to, the comfort shouldn't be the last thing that we are pursuing. The Lord should be the first thing we pursue. And so that was a huge lesson for us to wake up to. Also, the hard hike, you know, the hard hike was like crucial thing for me, 15 miles, 11 hours, all for the sake of the gospel. The Lord would strengthen us and, you know, to encourage believers and unbelievers. But at the same time, I was thinking, you know, man, this road is really hard. And just, you know, we're going just to encourage believers, okay, to share the gospel too. But then, you know, I was thinking first in Colombia, but also here in the States for you guys, because I'm a Colombian. But I was thinking, you know, I have like easy access to visit these places, but I'm not doing it. You know, back home, I would just go to these villages just, you know, to hang out and stuff. But you, why did I have to wait till I would experience all this hard, you know, this hard hike to go and share the gospel when I can do it with my car here in the States, when I can go to the YMCA and go share the gospel with guys. Like we have, you know, the access to encourage believers, even to go for coffee with believers in our chapel too. So what are we doing? You know, how am I spending my time here? Am I meeting up with people to encourage them, to pray for them? It's not that hard. Like at the end, the call is not, you guys should go to Peru or Juan is go to Peru. No. At the end, what the Lord was teaching me was the call is where you are. If you are a pilot for United, or if you are, you know, wherever you are, just be faithful there, and just witness to others who Christ is. He's worthy. So yeah, that was another lesson too. And I would like to encourage you guys, wherever you guys are, just be faithful where you are now. It's not, you know, the job of the missionary or like, no, it's each one of us where we are as church. That's how the New Testament church will look like, where they would share about Jesus. Also people are dying without the gospel. We had a really, sad, moment there. We got to the second village called Ricardo Palma, and we arrived the night before, and so the night before the group arrived, and there was like a guy that was very, very sick. And then the next day when the whole team arrived, we were about to start, and the guy had passed away that day. And the night before they were like, no, we don't want to hear it, please don't. And then, you know, just it was hard for the guys that stayed in that. I wasn't there, but the people that stayed there was really shocking for them that you don't even know when, you know, people are dying. And so today I was thinking also in Dennis, our brother Dennis, and just, you know, Sarah was sharing with me how he, you know, being in the hospital, she heard that he was sharing the gospel to the doctors, whoever was there. And so that's, man, that touches my heart. You know, people are dying without the gospel, and we are full of life here. What are we doing? So it's urgent. It's urgent. It's a call to reach our generation. Bird and Colleen Elliott, Jim Elliott's brother, he planted more than 80 churches in Peru in the jungle. But these churches, you know, were planted probably 50, 60 years ago. So many of these churches are dead now. And so it's like, you know, it was also Colin was sharing with me, like, we have a call us here to reach our generation, the generation now, because like, they did their work and it was amazing. And, you know, now it's our time. It's our time to reach our generation as well. It's urgent. And we can, but his grace and his mercy be part of his mission. And I wrote this in my journal. It's urgent. Be part of God's mission by abiding in him first, and making him known where you are, and even until the ends of the earth. It all starts by my relationship between God and me. Just every morning, the time, the communion you spend with the Lord, that's where it all starts. And then go out there where you are and witness to others. Don't waste your life. Two things are eternal, you know. God's word and people. So it's a call to invest in those things. And thank you so much to all of you guys for the support, the prayers. Missions require three different actions, you know, praying, supporting financially, and also going. We all can be part of those things, praying, supporting, going. We all can be part of God's mission. And I would just close up encouraging you guys to remember that we only have one life, And just one life, and it soon will pass, and only what's done for Christ will last. So, yeah, thank you so much for be praying, and let's close up in prayer now. Then after I pray, if there is some questions, I would love to answer them, but I would like to pray first. Dear Lord, thank you for tonight that we can come together and learn from you, from your word, what you are doing, Lord. Help us as your church to just have an urgent heart that is willing to be faithful where we are, Lord. Help us as your church not to fall asleep in midst of this wicked generation and world that it's even taking many of our teenagers away. So I pray that you would help us to stay strong, stay firm in the truth of the gospel. Help us to just speak boldly about who Jesus is, because this world can try to deceive our generation and distract them, Lord, but your gospel is real. And thank you that it's real, even here in the States, in Colombia, in Peru, everywhere. And that's your mission, Lord. So thank you for rescuing us, for saving us in Jesus, and help us, Lord, to be courage and also serve you and live a life that is worthy of the gospel. I pray this in your name. Amen. All right. So I don't know if you guys have questions at all. Yeah, Jim.
Yeah, on those villages, what would you say is the average population and how many in that villages would be Christian?
Okay, so Jim was asking if, for those on Zoom, what's the average population? They were like different, it varies, but I would say like the average would be 150 to 100 people, like kind of the average. There were like one with 120, there were others with 300, but yeah, I would say 200, around 200 people. One of the cool things, a story that Micah shared with us was they, like years ago, they were sharing the gospel and like they had like 30 people coming out of, you know, 1,000 people. And then two guys that were there went back to their village and they were super encouraged to share the gospel. And when they met Micah again, they were like, bro, we didn't have all the success you had. And Micah was like, why? We shared the gospel and we only had 30 people coming to the Lord. And you guys had like 100 when we were. Okay, how many are there in your village? Oh, we only have 70 people. So the average 30 out of 70 people. So, you know, that was super, super cool story too. We don't know. But yeah, so around like, I would say the churches that we visited, they had like between 20, 30 people. There was one that was just starting like 15 people. One of them didn't have like elders and stuff. So that was one of the needs in the last village we visited. Yeah. More questions?
How do they get the supplies to these rural?
So they grow their own stuff. Everything was river water. Like we had to take showers in the river. And so sometimes the soup would taste like soap and shampoo. I was like, why? It was like, you know, the coffee, everything was river water. Like, and I didn't want to think of that. I was like, yeah, thank you. You know, everything was chicken soup. But it was all with river water, you know. So, but yeah, they grow their own stuff. They call it chakra. So they grow a lot of plantain and corn and things like that. So they grow their own stuff. But if, you know, there is like small tienditas, stores where like they you know, a boat would come and supply a little bit those stores. But yeah, it's nothing fancy at all. Like people wouldn't go to buy stuff there. There is not like enough resources to buy those things. Yeah. I think you had a question. Yeah, I would go again. Yeah, for sure. One of the reasons, as I shared with the elders before going, kind of my, you know, long-term thinking of ministry in Colombia. Colombia is next to Peru. So it's easier for me to, you know, have a mission trip to Peru with the church in Colombia than, you know, bringing them here to the States. And so I wanted to have like all those connections because the church in Peru, they have like a really strong youth group, probably you know, 10, 12 people, and it would be easier even for them to come to Colombia at some point too. So I would love to, you know, it was good to have those connections, but long-term, the reason why I would go back, it would be more like a discipleship relationship with the church in Colombia and take them down to Peru. So I would like to have, you know, 10 people coming down to Peru at some point, but long-term, it wouldn't be soon, but yeah, I would love to go back there. For sure. Carmen.
Do the villagers have an influence on any other religions?
Oh, well, that's a really good question. So actually, there is like a lot of false prophets coming into these churches, like prosperity gospel and things like that, you know, lots of Pentecostals as well coming and try to drag the people out. And so there was like in the second village, there was just one elder. And like he had like 12 believers, and he had to, you know, defend his flock from all these lobos rapaces. That's a word that I don't remember how to say in English, but yeah, like all these people with all the false doctrines and stuff. And he had to stand firm and say like, no, you're not coming here. So there is also some, you know, Catholic people around, some Catholic churches that you'll see, but it was neat to see how, you know, I mean, the thing is like, you're gonna have mass when the priest comes, but there in these villages you have already one or two elders that are available for people. So it's like, you know, it's having a foreigner come into the village when you have the locals following Christ. So that was really, really cool to see as well. Yeah. Yes, Judy.
How old do people get there? Do they live old?
Yeah, well, I you know, one of the things like they their workout is walk in the jungle. So these people, you know, I met a believer, she was 89 years old and she was still working. Like she was like with the mask, like if you were, you know, your arm and stuff, like she would like do massages. I don't know how you get a massage and stuff. So she was working still. She was 89. And she was actually the lady that said like, one of my sons wanted to reconcile with the Lord last night, but you guys should probably go visit him. And so that's how we got connected with that family, that later that night, they came back to the Lord again. So yeah, they live long. It took us 11 hours, but the guy that we had, he was like 63 years old and he would make it in 4 hours. So this guy, oh man, they're crazy. Yeah. So. All right, I think that would be it. Thank you so much, guys, for letting me share with you all.